Thank you, Daniel. Thank all of you for the opportunity, as always, to share God's wonderful word with you. Hopefully Bob and Jeannie are having a wonderful time on their anniversary trip. So let's get into some great word tonight. In 11 days, a large portion of the world's population will celebrate Easter Sunday. However, there are several nations that will not, many of which are in Asia, such as China, Japan, Korea, Thailand, as well as the Middle East, such as Iran, Libya, Kuwait, and Pakistan, and so on. And that's primarily because these are Buddhist and Muslim countries. In a majority of the countries that will celebrate it, we'll have many of those that will celebrate it mostly centered around painting eggs, Easter bunnies, and family brunch. Now, these can all be wonderful things that we can do with our families, but as believers, we view this particular holiday in an entirely different light. In fact, the name Easter is rooted in paganism. The name Easter is associated with pagan traditions of spring and fertility, in reference to a pagan festival dedicated to a false idol that the pagans called Eostre, representing new life and renewal. Unfortunately, it has become integrated into the Christian celebration of Jesus' resurrection. The Easter Bunny is a prominent symbol of the Easter holiday because rabbits are known for their prolific breeding, making them a natural choice for association with spring and rebirth. And even though rabbits can make wonderful pets and children love them, they are the chosen symbol to represent a holiday that instead should be centered around the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, the greatest event in all of history, along with the events that took place on the day of Pentecost. So, what does the word resurrection mean? For the Christian, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of our faith because it signifies the victory that we have over sin and death. And tonight, we'll look at the significance of what this means for those of us that believe. So let's start out tonight in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 7. Now, after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave, and behold, a severe earthquake had occurred. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came back and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen. Just as he said, come see the place where he was lying. Verse 7, go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So here we see an example of the apostles. They really couldn't understand what he had to fully do and that he would rise again, but it wasn't until they saw the empty tomb and then he finally appeared to them that they actually started to get it. See? And as mentioned earlier, many of the world religions don't believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Simply because they just don't get it. They're blinded, spiritually blinded to be specific. For example, Islam has nearly 2 billion followers, That's 25% of the world's population. That's a lot of people. And even though they believe Jesus is a mighty prophet, but they don't believe that he died on the cross for the sins of mankind. Or many other religions believe in either reincarnation or some type of transformation of the soul into the afterlife. When man tries to play God and comes up with his own interpretation of eternal life, he is instead on a path that leads to eternal death. However, God has given us great detail about all aspects of not only the path to true salvation, but all the details regarding the resurrection of the dead, starting with our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's go ahead, we'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, and we're going to start in verse 35. 1 Corinthians 15, 35. It says, "But someone will say, how are the dead raised? And with what kind of body do they come? You fool, that which you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And that which you sow, you do not sow the body which it is to be, but bare grain, perhaps of wheat or of something else." Okay, so what is this basically saying? It's basically saying that in order for something to truly be resurrected, it has a living being or something alive has to die and then brought back to life. A few weeks ago, I did a sharing on the dead being asleep until the return of the Lord. If an individual immediately passes into another realm at the point of death, that's not a true resurrection. Instead, that would be defined as a transformation and then transferring to a different location or realm. Clearly, we know from God's word, the dead are not brought back to life until the gathering together, or as some call it, the rapture. So keep your finger in 1 Corinthians 15, and we are going to look at Matthew chapter 12. We're going to go back to Matthew again. Keep your finger in 1 Corinthians. Matthew 12, verse 40. "For just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the sea monster, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Now, I'm using the New American Standard Bible, so you know, there's going to have different versions, say, in the belly of the fish or the whale. So I'm using the NASB for those of you that might want to follow along, so that's why it says the sea monster. Don't let that throw you off. The main point is that the Lord Jesus Christ was to be in the grave for 3 days and 3 nights. And the term "in the heart of the earth," that is a Hebrew idiom that simply means the grave. It's sort of more or less an idiom, is more or less a type of a figure of speech. So it means he was in the grave. Now, unfortunately, it is often taught that Jesus went down to hell and other mystical places during this time, floating around down in Middle Earth or somewhere, you know, again, places like we see in fantasy movies like The Hobbit or Lord of the Rings. It's, you know, it's nonsense. But for Jesus to truly be raised from the dead, he had to be asleep in the grave for 3 days and 3 nights. And on a side note on that, you know, that's confirmation as well that Jonah was also in the belly of the fish is being dead. God didn't keep him down there alive in the fish's stomach. He died, but God resurrected him. All right, so now let's go back to 1 Corinthians, and we're going to go back to verse 1 Corinthians 15. And we're going to pick it up now in verse 42. 1 Corinthians 15, 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body, it is raised an imperishable body. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So again, what we're seeing is a little more detail here that the perishable, or that which is weak, is going to be raised into something completely different, something glorious. Says here in verse 43, it's sown in dishonor, but it is raised in glory. Sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. Let's look now at verse 45. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. So again, there's no transformations of people turning into ghosts and things like that. Simply the physical body will die, and then when the time comes, it will be raised in a spiritual body. Verse 47, the first man is from the earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. As is the earthy, so also are those who are earthy. And as is the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. So this word earthy, this isn't a term that, say, you know, sometimes in California we hear the term tree huggers or, you know, granola type naturalist. This is just referring to the flesh. So remember, our bodies, our physical bodies, were made from the dust of the earth, right? And, you know, for the Christian, formed, made, and created, but the physical body was formed and made from the dust of the earth. So that's what it's referring to when it says the first man was from the earth, earthy. Verse 49, just as we have borne the image of the earthy, our physical bodies, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. So the key points to draw from these verses are that heavenly beings, those that are going to be resurrected, meaning us at that time in the Lord Jesus Christ, and even angels, even though they have not died and been resurrected, heavenly beings have great glory and power. In specific, though, humans, us, after being sown in weakness and dishonor, which is our decaying bodies of flesh and blood that are still carrying the sin nature, will be resurrected with great glory. However, let's look at the Lord Jesus Christ specifically, because he sets the example. You know, as Al was praying tonight, you know, how our Lord Jesus Christ sets the example for us. Well, you know, he was the first fruits to rise from the dead. He was the first one to get up with the greatest of all glory and power. And so he was beaten and crucified, you know, terribly as a man. In fact, it says in Isaiah that he was beyond recognition as a human. He was beaten that badly. So he definitely died in a state of weakness. However, when God raised him from the dead, he was glorified and exalted to the utmost position of power and glory. So let's look at some of the verses that go into some detail about that. So we'll go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to start in verse 8. We're going to go through verses 8 to 11. It says, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and earth and under the earth. And that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amazing. So let's break this down a little bit. It says that every knee will bow. And who are those who are in heaven and on earth and under earth? Well, those that are in heaven are all the angels. Those on the earth are those that are alive now, and those under the earth are those that have died. And it says, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So this is every person, every knee, every tongue of everyone that has ever lived throughout all of history. There's coming a day that every knee will bow to him. You know, how much better to do it now while we're alive and that we can, as opposed to waiting until it's too late at the great white throne judgment. How much better is it now to acknowledge who he is and what he's done for us, right? And of course, we all have because we believe. But yet there are many that don't, as I have shown earlier with some of the statistics. So let's go to the next verse. We're going to go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 18 and 19. Colossians 1, 18, 19. He is also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Okay, so this is more confirmation here that we get from the word that he is the firstborn, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. All right, so when it says he's the firstborn from the dead, that means he was the first to rise with immortality. You know, if we look back the story of Lazarus, you know, Lazarus died and Jesus resurrected him, but then later on Lazarus died again, right? But Jesus is the first to get up, the Lord Jesus Christ, the first to get up with immortality. He would never die again. What does this second part mean, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him? What does that mean? Let's take a look, because as we read on in Colossians, we get the answer. Colossians 2:9. Next chapter over, Colossians 2:9. We're just reading scripture. It says, for in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. The King James Version uses the word Godhead. That's basically the same, they mean the same thing, deity. So in bodily form, when God raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, he placed all of the fullness, not half, not partial, all the fullness of his divine nature and majesty into Jesus. This pleased our Heavenly Father to do this. Jesus now, seated at the right hand of God as the Son of God, has all the power and deity of God himself because God chose to put it there. This is very significant in regards to the resurrection because it means our Savior is set apart from all other world religions and belief systems because he is the exalted one. God exalted him. We saw that in Philippians, to the highest place. And so this is what God did. God made him sovereign. 1 Timothy 6:16. This goes into it a little further. 1 Timothy 6:16. Actually, let's start at verse 13. I charge you in the presence of God who gives life to all things and of Christ Jesus who testified the good confession before Pontius Pilate that you keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, verse 15, he, God, will bring about at the proper time. So the appearing of the Lord, his return, is coming back. God has a set time for that. It's an appointed time that absolutely will happen. How wonderful if it's in our lifetime, but either way, if it's not, it's going to happen. So at the proper time, still in verse 15, he, Jesus, who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, now here it is, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light whom no man has seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. Only the Lord Jesus Christ is exalted to the status of immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light. It's safe to say that everything God sees, Jesus now sees. Everything God knows, the Lord Jesus Christ now knows. Jesus Christ now has the sovereignty over all things which no other man in history has ever had. Again, he is truly the exalted one. All right, now, how does this translate to those believers who are asleep and even to us today who believe? Well, if we look back in 1 Corinthians, verse 15, verse 49, it says, just as we have borne the image of the earthy, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. Now, we already know when this is going to take place, at the gathering. And we know at that time when we receive a new spiritual body. However, what else is going to be a part of this, our new resurrected selves? Well, let's take a look here. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Philippians 3, verse 20. It says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into the conformity of the body with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. So the Lord Jesus Christ, who has the exertion of the power that he can subject all things to himself because God placed that in him to do such, we are going to be transformed into a body just like his. But the one thing I want us to see here in verse 21 is that the glory. We are going to get to share in his great glory. That is something to really look forward to. These lowly bodies that we have with all the sickness and frailties are going to be transformed into something beyond our imagination. Full of glory and power, never to age again or become sick, able to do things we cannot even imagine. Now, God gives us glimpses of this in nature. Give you an example. The red-spotted purple caterpillar, which is in Latin, the term is Lamennitis arthemis, is known for its appearance as that of a bird dropping. When you look at it, it literally looks like bird poop. It doesn't look like it's anything living. However, when this caterpillar goes into the cocoon, it arguably transforms into one of the most beautiful butterflies in all nature, with distinctive red spots and striking wings. The glory of the Lord himself will be exuded in our new bodies when we're resurrected or gathered together, if we are still alive at that time. It's going to be absolutely amazing. Back to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Great glory. Let's go ahead. We're going to close now in Jude. Jude 24. Jude does not have any chapters because it's basically only one chapter. And if you don't know where Jude is, it's just before the book of Revelation at the very end of the Bible, the very back of your Bible. Very small book. Jude 24, not chapter 24, but verse 24. It says here, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. It's just a wonderful thing when we can see from God's word that not only do we have this great transformation similar to the caterpillar, to the beautiful butterfly, but that God is able to keep us from stumbling and to make us stand blameless in that great glory. So we should have great joy. You know, when we think about coming up in the next days ahead about the Easter holiday that, you know, as we call it, the resurrection holiday, we can truly rejoice because he is risen. And you know, we can rejoice in that we have great things to be anticipating for as we await his return, because he is alive. Praise God. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for all of us here tonight, all of those listening in, all your people. We thank you, God, for just giving us this amazing future, new bodies that we get to spend eternity with you in a perfect state and fellowshipping with you as our Father, as our Heavenly Daddy. And we love you so much, God, and we just thank you. We also pray for those that don't know your Son and that don't recognize his resurrection. Just that you'll set divine appointments to open doors, to speak to their hearts, and that they could become saved. We pray in the glorious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.